Democratic Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib canceled her trip to Israel today, saying she doesn't want to go under oppressive conditions meant to humiliate her. Tlaib had planned to travel to the West Bank on a fact-finding mission with other congressional representatives, including Ilhan Omar, who, like Tlaib, is Muslim. They were barred from visiting by the government of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the urging of President Trump. Then this morning, Netanyahu said Tlaib could visit her grandmother in the West Bank on humanitarian grounds, and then Tlaib canceled the trip. Joining us now from Tel Aviv is journalist Neri Zilber, an adjunct fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Neri, welcome back to Here and Now.
Good to be back, Jeremy.
So first of all, your reaction to Tlaib canceling her trip and saying what she said about it.
This whole affair, I think, is unfortunate. From the Israeli point of view, it's really self-inflicted harm. There was really no need, to my mind, for the Israeli government to ban two U.S. congressmen from coming and seeing and speaking to whoever they wanted here on the ground. Israel prides itself, I think, for being open and a democratic society. I think all this was predictable. We all knew, you know, if they had come, that would have been one thing. But if they weren't allowed to come, it would have been a much bigger media circus. And that's exactly what's happened over the past day or two.
Now, Netanyahu's decision came shortly after a Trump tweet saying it would show weakness if Israel let these two members of Congress in. They are political opponents of President Trump. What does it tell you that Netanyahu did basically what the president asked him to do so quickly?
So I think it speaks to two issues. Number one, I think this is wholly generated by President Trump for his own political benefit. The second point is that Prime Minister Netanyahu actually acceded to that request. I think despite counseling from his own advisors and despite the fact that Israel initially had indicated a willingness to let the congresswoman come. So Netanyahu, I think, was put in a position where a lot of the benefits and gifts, so to speak, that he received from President Trump and the Trump administration over the past several months, if not past few years, came home to roost. And Netanyahu, I think, unfortunately for Israel's standing internationally and specifically in America, chose to side with President Trump.
Now, Netanyahu is also running for re-election. He faces charges of bribery, fraud, and corruption. How does that play into this?
So I think it was a secondary consideration. There's some speculation that this was a ploy for Netanyahu's own political benefit. There is some truth to it. Netanyahu likes to hold himself up as a very strong and right-wing leader, holding on to his own principles and Israel's standing against any enemies, whether real or perceived. But I think it only takes you so far, this explanation. I think the backlash that we've seen across the entire spectrum of American politics, so whether it's AIPAC or Chuck Schumer or Marco Rubio and on down the line, every Democratic candidate for 2020 has come out against Israel's decision yesterday. And I think that would actually do a fair bit of harm for Netanyahu among the Israeli public writ large.
Well, and as you said, Marco Rubio did not support this. He's a Republican senator. He tweeted that he disagrees with Tlaib and Omar, but that denying them entry to Israel is a mistake. Tlaib and Omar support the boycott, divest, and sanctions movement against Israel. How do people in Israel, in Tel Aviv, feel about what's going on today?
I think this is more an American story than it is an Israeli story. Yesterday, a lot of Israelis were introduced, arguably for the first time, to Representatives Omar and Tlaib. And so in that respect, the fact that the fissures within the Democratic Party and the American left, I think, is arguably a wake-up call for the Israeli public that they become a really partisan issue in American political discourse. And that's something new. And it could have implications not only in the short term, given the politics in America, but especially in the long term. President Trump will not be president forever. And so eventually there will be a Democratic president who comes into office, and he might have very different opinions with regard to Israel than the current president or even previous presidents.
I want to ask you one more thing, Neri. We mentioned the campaign that Netanyahu is in the middle of right now. The election is in a month. His party won the last election in April, but not by enough to form a government. What's likely to happen in September?
So it's going to be a very close run affair. So the real question is whether Netanyahu has enough seats, whether with his own party or his right-wing allies, to now form a government. Last time he was about one seat short. He, according to the polls, doesn't quite have it just yet. And big picture, the Israeli public hasn't really engaged with this current election campaign like it was early this year in the first round. So in a few weeks, I think it'll start getting going, and we'll see kind of where the winds are blowing in terms of Netanyahu's future and whether there'll be a new prime minister in Israel and whether things, policies on the ground here might change.
That's Neri Zilber, an analyst and journalist with the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, joining us from Tel Aviv. Neri, thanks as always.
My pleasure, Jeremy.